Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to today's call. It is wonderful Wednesday, January 11th, 2012. Welcome to your vitamins for the mind, your cappuccino for the soul, the Think and Grow Rich call. Everybody that joins this call comes on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, prepared, excited, ready to be fed mentally, to be fed spiritually, to learn and understand the principles of what Jim Rohn used to call the good life. And that's really what we're here doing. We're learning how to have the good life. You know, right before this call, I was pondering a little bit the fact, the inescapable fact, that one day, each of us, it doesn't matter whether we're calling in from California, Florida, Canada, China, South America, anywhere on this earth, if we're on this call, if we're living on this earth, one day, all of us, and I apologize, this is a little bit of a sobering fact, we'll all be on our deathbeds. And one of the things that motivates me, that inspires me, is I realize that one day I will be on my deathbed. One day I will be facing, you know, leaving this earth. And I want to look back upon my life and be able to say, I did everything I knew how to do. I did everything within my power. I enjoyed, I allowed things to touch me, I was brought to tears over things that inspired me, I met people that lifted me up, I did some lifting. I want to be able to say the places that I wanted to go, that I wanted to visit on this earth, I did. I want to be able to say the things that I wanted to do while I was here on this earth, I did. I don't want to look back on my life and say to myself, what if I would have gotten on a call like the Think and Grow Rich call? What if I would have heard some ideas that would have lifted up, inspired me, allowed me to change my life, allowed me to put my path on a different course, a different direction, a higher course, a higher direction? What if I would have learned to live like Wallace Wattles talks about in his book, The Science of Getting Rich, like the citizen of another kingdom? I don't want to look back and say to myself, why didn't I get on a call and listen to a guy like Bill Hartraft, who's made millions of dollars in his life? Why didn't I learn some of those ideas, okay? I don't want to get to that point. I want to be able to say I lived life as fully as I knew how to live, and that, my friends, is what we're doing on this call. We're learning from people who have gone before, who have done amazing things. We're learning principles that will allow us to live the good life, to give everything we have while we're here, and be able to lay down our head on that pillow on that deathbed and say, you know what? I did it, and I feel great about it, and I'm ready for what's next. So on that note, Bill, I'm excited and inspired to hear what you have to share with us this morning, Mr. Bill Hartraft.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Paul, I'll tell you what, every time I listen to you, I don't care when it is, what time it is, you always inspire me and get me really lifted up for the day, I must admit, although one thing we're going to talk about today is stability and emotional stability and structure. Remember, when we work for somebody else, we give about 25% of ourselves, and we have somebody else telling us what to do. So we don't have to think about, you know, what we have to do except in our own personal lives while we're working. But when we work for ourselves, we're working 100% of ourselves, without any structure, without anybody telling us what to do, or go make, you know, 10 calls right now, and then when you're done with those 10 calls, I want you to make 15 more, and you're not working to make somebody else rich, you're working to make yourself rich. And so what we're going to talk about today is a lot of personal flaws and failures and all kinds of things. And as you listen to some of these things that I read, do due diligence, you know, check on yourself, hear what I'm reading, and then think to yourself, okay, yeah, I have a problem here, I need to work on that. Remember what Melvin Shaw said, if you heard him the other night, and if you didn't, he said, what you work on that's hard will become easy. And then the easy things in your life will become hard because you're starting to do things that you're feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And trust me, yes, I have had some success in my life. I had seven businesses, five of which were pretty darn successful, and the other two were so-so. They weren't in network marketing, even though I was doing network marketing since the age of 19 and have been doing it even while I was recovering from the assault in 1996. I was a distributor for a high-end holistic pet food business while I lived in Vermont. It is one thing to want money. Everyone wants more. But it is something entirely different to be worth more. Many people mistake their wants for their just dues. Your financial requirements or wants have nothing whatever to do with your worth. Your value is established entirely by your ability to render useful service or your capacity to induce others to render such service. So today, we're going to read through about 30 failures and why people fail. And it's this is not an easy read. It's not an easy listen. But as I go through these things, I want you to not think, oh, my God, you know, I'm a failure and there's no way I can conquer this. Trust me when I say this, that I have failed so many times in my life and I have so many personal flaws from the last 15 years of really bad auto-suggestion, really bad programming from doctors and people that just told me that, you know, hey, your life's over, pal. I mean, they didn't say that exactly, but that's the way it felt. And when you attach emotional feelings to that, it becomes real for you. And so I've had to overcome all that and try and get back life. You know, you either get busy living or you get busy dying. A body in motion stays in motion. A body that's lying around will continue to lie around. And I've had to switch my entire being from that body of lying around, not wanting to hurt, not wanting to be in pain, to being in motion. And the first few times that I was being in motion, I found myself hurting. But then I found the more times I was in motion, the pain would subside. The pain would go away. I'd start to build muscle mass up. So as I go through these 30 major causes of failure and ask yourself, how many of these are holding you back? What do you have to do to change them? And how are we going to think through this and grow rich together? The 30 major causes of failure. I'm reading from Think and Grow Rich. How many of these are holding you back? Life's greatest tragedy consists of men and women who earnestly try and fail. The tragedy lies in the overwhelmingly large majority of people who fail as compared to the few who succeed. I have had the privilege of analyzing several thousand men and women, 98% of whom were classed as failures. There is something radically wrong with a civilization and a system of education which permit 98% of the people to go through life as failures. But I did not write this book for the purpose of moralizing on the rights and wrongs of the world. That would require a book 100 times the size of this one. My analysis work proved that there are 30 major reasons for failure and 13 major principles through which people accumulate fortunes. In this chapter, a description of the 30 major causes of failure will be given. As you go over the list, check yourself by it, like I said, point by point, for the purpose of discovering how many of these causes of failure stand between you and your success. 1. And you don't have to write these down, but I do urge you to get the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill and go over these and figure out where am I making mistakes, what do I have to improve, what do I have to change, and then do it. You will see tremendous success from doing just that. So stability, that's basically what we're focusing on today. Stability is the word of the day. 1, unfavorable hereditary background. Now, we can't help that, can we? But we can change it. There is but little, if anything, which can be done for people who are born with a deficiency in brain power. This philosophy offers but one method of bridging this weakness through the aid of the mastermind. Observe with profit, however, that this is the only one of the 30 causes of failure which may not be easily corrected by any individual. I can even speak to that one. 2, lack of a well-defined purpose in life. Listen to that one. Lack of a well-defined purpose in life. What do Paul and I talk about all the time? A defining purpose, a definiteness of purpose in our affirmations that Paul and I listen to every day. Definite purpose. What is your defining purpose? Lack of a well-defined purpose in life. There's no hope of success for the person who does not have a central purpose. We talked about this yesterday. Or definite goal at which to aim. 98 out of every 100 of those whom I have analyzed had no such aim. Perhaps this was the lack of ambition to aim above mediocrity. 3, lack of ambition to aim above mediocrity. We offer no hope for the person who is so indifferent as not to want to get ahead in life and who is not willing to pay the price. Well, we know that everybody on this call wants to get ahead in life, or else you wouldn't be here. Insufficient education. 4, this is a handicap which may be overcome with comparative ease. Experience has proven that the best educated people are often those who are known as self-made or self-educated. What did Paul say not too long ago? Leaders must be readers. It takes more than a college degree to make one person of education. Any person who is educated is one who has learned to get whatever he wants in life without violating the rights of others. Education consists not so much of knowledge, but of knowledge effectively and persistently applied. Men are paid not merely for what they know, but more particularly for what they do with that which they know. In other words, what they've learned about, they work with that and then they apply it. 5, lack of self-discipline. Remember I talked about stability? Discipline plays a huge role. Lack of self-discipline. Discipline comes through self-control. This means that one must control all negative qualities. Before you can control conditions, you must first control yourself. Self-mastery is the hardest job you will ever tackle, and don't we know that? If you do not conquer self, you will be conquered by self. Let me read that again. If you do not conquer yourself, you will be conquered by yourself emotionally. You may see at one and the same time both your best friend and your greatest enemy by stepping in front of a mirror. 6, ill health. No person may enjoy outstanding success without good health. Many of the causes of ill health are subject to mastery and control. What was I talking about before I started reading the book? Exactly this. These, in the main, are A, overeating of foods not conducive to health. B, wrong habits of thought, giving expression to negatives. We all do that. C, wrong use of and overindulgence in sex. D, lack of proper physical exercise. What do we hear about Paul every morning? He doesn't even think about going to the gym anymore. It's just automatically programmed into his mind. He wakes up out of his bed, and he doesn't even get in his car. He just appears at the gym. I'm just having fun. An inadequate supply of fresh air due to improper breathing. We talked about this on one call with Justin Ferengi about meditating and taking time to relax and breathe in, hold your breath for 5, 6, 7 count, and then release it through your nose, 5, 6, 7 count, and relaxing and allowing yourself to meditate into your own self. 7, unfavorable environmental influences during childhood. This is programming. As the twig is bent, so shall the tree grow. Most people who have criminal tendencies acquire them as a result of bad environment and improper associates during childhood. I could say something, but I won't. 8, procrastination. This is my problem. This is one of the most common causes of failure. Old man procrastination stands within the shadow of every human being, waiting his opportunity to spoil one's chances of success. Most of us go through life as failures because we are waiting for the time to be right, to start doing something worthwhile. Do not wait. The time will never be just right. Start where you stand right now and work with whatever tools you may have at your command, and better tools will be found as you go along. You know, Melvin said something the other day to Paul, which I thought was very profound. He said, everything that Paul does now is easy for him because he did all the hard stuff. He was scared to make calls, so he started making calls. He was scared to do other things, he started doing those other things. He was scared to try, but he tried, and now it's become easy to him. And he started because he had to start. And most of us have to start right now. I have to start right now. And there are a lot of things that are hard for me. You know, it's one thing to be running a business that has people coming in and buying products from you. It's another thing to build a business from your home and go out and find people. Start right now. Start today. I'm going to. Are you? Lack of persistence, number 9. Most of us are good starters, but poor finishers of everything we begin. Moreover, people are prone to give up at the first signs of defeat. There's no substitute for persistence. The person who makes persistence his watchword discovers that old man failure finally becomes tired and makes his departure. Failure cannot cope with persistence. The old adage or the old saying, persistence pays, it's true. 10, negative personality. There is no hope of success for the person who repels people through a negative personality. Just like when you call somebody up. If you're calling them up and you're just looking to obtain something from them, they will hear it through your voice. They will hear it through your voice. But if you're calling them up with care and love and understanding and that you want to help them, they will hear that as well. Success comes through the application of power, and power is attained through the cooperative efforts of other people. A negative personality will not induce cooperation. 11, lack of controlled sexual urge. Sex energy is the most powerful of all the stimuli which move people into action. Because it is the most powerful of the emotions, it must be controlled through transmutation and converted into other channels. 12, uncontrolled desire for something for nothing. The gambling instinct drives millions of people to failure. Evidence of this may be found in a study of the Wall Street crash of 1929, during which millions of people tried to make money by gambling on stock margins. 13, lack of a well-defined power of decision. Men who succeed reach decisions promptly and change them, if at all, very slowly. Men who fail reach decisions, if at all, very slowly, and change them frequently and quickly. Just like Paul said not too long ago, and I know I'm referring back to Paul, but he said, I'm not making decisions slowly anymore. I'm making them swiftly. I used to stew about them for days and weeks at a time, but now something comes up. I make the decision, and boom, I'm off to the next thing. Where one is found, the other may usually be found also. Kill off this pair before they completely hogtie you to the treadmill of failure. Again, that's making decisions, making it firm in your mind, and going after it, moving forward.
Hey, 14. Bill, can I interject real quick?
Sure.
Okay, just real quick, as we're going through these, one of the things that I realized when Bill just barely read that one is somewhere in this book, as Bill mentioned, I recognize that I made decisions slowly, and I realize that wealthy people make them swiftly. So one of the things that I did is I wrote down a positive belief for myself, which is I make decisions fast and swiftly move forward. I wrote that down, and I added it into my my daily incantation. And again, we talk about this every day. You start with this major definite purpose and the self-confidence formula, but then I started adding beliefs that I wanted to have. So I wrote that in. So rather than just hearing it, like on a call like this, or reading it and forgetting about it, I said, Paul, what can I do on a daily basis to remind myself? So I wrote that belief in, and I now repeat it to myself every day, and it's become a part of me. I now do make decisions fast and swiftly move forward. So just a suggestion, as Bill continues to go through these, hone out the ones that maybe you know you need to work on, and ask yourself, what's a positive belief I could have that would fix this? And then add it into your daily affirmation. That's how we're going to take what we're learning today and make it a part of our souls and make it a part of our characters. That's exactly the strategy for pulling from the book and applying in the life. Okay, back to you, Bill.
Okay. Number 14, one or more of the six basic fears. These fears have been analyzed for you in a later chapter. They must be mastered before you can market your services effectively. Now, don't use that as a blocking mechanism to get started today after this call. Do not. Don't worry about the six basic fears. I should have crossed that one out. Do not even worry about that because there's plenty in here that, like Paul just mentioned. 15, wrong selection of a mate in marriage. Now, I actually went through this. I didn't know that my selection was wrong in the beginning, but I found out later on that the selection was wrong because she just did not believe in anything I was doing in network marketing. Even though I was making money at it, she still didn't believe it. And it was just it was a bad deal. And so we had an amicable divorce, but it was a bad selection. This is a most common cause of failure. Yeah, don't I know it. The relationship of marriage brings people intimately into contact. Unless this relationship is harmonious, failure is likely to follow. Moreover, it will be a form of failure that is marked by misery and unhappiness, destroying all signs of ambition. 16. This is one that people should take note of. Overcaution. The person who takes no chances generally has to take whatever is left when others are through choosing. Overcaution is as bad as undercaution. Both are extremes to be guarded against. Life itself is filled with the element of chance. We all have to take chances. We take chances every single day that we take for granted, every time we get in our car and we go out and we're among other people, or some people on this call, anytime they get in their car and there's even a house on the right-hand side, they may drive into it. You just don't know. And, you know, look, people, on November 23rd, 1996, I went out on a nice date for dinner. I did not expect to be attacked by a gang. I mean, my life changed in an instant that night. Don't wait around. Start now. Start today. 17, wrong selection of associates in business. This is one of the most common causes of failure in business. In marketing personal services, one should use great care to select an employer or employee who will be an inspiration and who is himself, herself, intelligent and successful. We emulate those with whom we associate most closely. Pick an employer or employee who is worth emulating. 18, superstition and prejudice. Superstition is a form of fear. It is also a sign of ignorance. Men and women who succeed keep open minds and are afraid of nothing. Don't be afraid of anything. You're going to be alive tonight. You're going to go through your day, make your calls, and you're going to be fine tonight. You're going to eat dinner. You're going to sit down and get on a call and make some more calls or what have you. Build your business. You're going to be alive tonight. Do what's difficult today. Accomplish that fear today. Pick up the phone and call people. I'm going to. Wrong selection of a vocation. No man or woman can succeed in a line of endeavor which he or she does not like. The most essential step in the marketing of personal services is that of selecting an occupation into which you can throw yourself wholeheartedly. 20. Lack of concentration of effort. The jack of all trades. seldom is good at any. Concentrate all of your efforts on one definite chief aim. You know, a lot of people think I am a jack of all trades because I've done so much in my life. But really, as my mother would say, I can sell snow shovels to Floridians. And so I do have one definite chief aim. 21, the habit of indiscriminate spending. The spendthrift cannot succeed, mainly because he or she stands eternally in fear of poverty. Form the habit of systematic saving by putting aside a definite percentage of your income. That goes in line with your defining purpose. Money in the bank gives one a very safe foundation of courage when bargaining for the sale of personal services. Without money, one must take what one is offered and be glad to get it. 22. Lack of enthusiasm. I'm alive, awake, aware, and enthusiastic. Lack of enthusiasm. Without enthusiasm, one cannot be convincing. Moreover, enthusiasm is contagious. Remember I said positive energy attracts positive energy? And the person who has it under control is generally welcome in any group of people. Now, I don't know anybody that isn't on this call right now that doesn't want to hang on to the coattails of a Mr. Paul Hutchings, whoever that guy is. 23, intolerance. The person with a closed mind on any subject seldom gets ahead. Intolerance means that one has stopped acquiring knowledge. The most damaging forms of intolerance are those connected with religious, racial, and political differences of opinion. 24, intemperance. The most damaging forms of intemperance are connected with eating, strong drink, and sexual activities. Overindulgence in any of these is fatal to success. You know, moderation. Moderation. I love that word, moderation. Everything in moderation. You know, eating too much meat, eating too much of anything, drinking too much of anything. It's bad for us. We need to mix it up. We need to mix it up. Everything in moderation. 25, inability to cooperate with others. More people lose their positions and their big opportunities in life because of this fault than for all other reasons combined. It is a fault which no well-informed businessman or leader will tolerate. 26, possession of power that was not acquired through self-effort. Sons and daughters of wealthy men and others who inherit money which they did not earn, power in the hands of one who did not acquire it gradually, is often fatal to success. Quick riches are more dangerous than poverty. Sorry about that. But quick riches is just like if I asked Paul, I said, okay, Paul, you're so great at this business. Build my business for me. My business isn't going to go anywhere. It's not going to work because I didn't do it. I didn't work. I didn't learn to do it. So it's not going to work. 27, intentional dishonesty. This is a big one. There is no substitute for honesty. One may be temporarily dishonest by force of circumstances over which one has no control without permanent damage, but there is no hope for the person who is dishonest by choice. Sooner or later, his or her deeds will catch up with him, and he will pay by loss of reputation and perhaps even loss of liberty. 28. Egotism and vanity. These qualities serve as red lights which will warn others to keep away. They are fatal to success. 29, guessing instead of thinking. Most people are too indifferent or lazy to acquire facts with which to think accurately. They prefer to act on opinions created by guesswork or snap judgments. 30, lack of capital. This is the last one. This is a common cause of failure among those who start out in business for the first time without sufficient reserve of capital to absorb the shock of their mistakes and to carry them over until they have established a reputation. Oh, one more. 31. Under this name, any particular cause of failure from which you have suffered that has not been included in the foregoing list. In these 30 major causes of failure is found a description of the tragedy of life, which obtains for practically every person who tries and fails. It will be helpful if you can induce someone who knows you well to go over this list with you and help to analyze you by the 30 causes of failure. It may be beneficial if you try this alone. Most people cannot see themselves as others see them. You may be one who cannot. The oldest of admonitions is, man, know thyself. If you market merchandise successfully, you must know the merchandise. The same is true in marketing personal services. You should know all of your weaknesses in order that you may either bridge them or eliminate them entirely. You should know your strength in order that you may call attention to it when selling your services. You can know yourself only through accurate analysis. The folly of ignorance in connection with self was displayed by a young man who applied to the manager of a well-known business for a position. He made a very good impression until the manager asked him what salary he expected. He replied that he had no fixed sum in mind, lack of a definite aim. The manager then said, "Well, we will pay you all you are worth. Alter, we try you out, or we will try you out for a week." "I will not accept it," the applicant replied, "because I'm getting more than that where I am now employed." Before you even start to negotiate for a readjustment of your salary in your present position or to seek employment elsewhere, be sure that you are worth more now than you receive. And as I read in the beginning, it is one thing to want money. Everyone wants more, but it is something entirely different to be worth more. Many people mistake their wants for their just dues. Your financial requirements or wants have nothing whatever to do with your worth. Your value is established entirely by your ability to render useful service or your capacity to induce others to render such service. This was a long read and a lot to explain, so I will hand it over to Paul now because I did a lot of explaining through the process. Paul?
Well, you did a great job, Bill, and I would just, you know, summarize what you've stated and shared by, or I should say reemphasize. Napoleon Hill, folks, spent 20 years of his life studying successful and unsuccessful people. 20 years of his life he studied this stuff, and he compiled this list of the 30 major causes of failure, and it's comprehensive. It really is. If you go through each of these points that Bill's gone through, you know, again, I don't recommend that you pick the ones out that maybe we have and focus on those, but rather find them, identify them, and then say, okay, how do I flip this into a positive? Or in other words, how do I form a positive belief that I can start to program into my mind on a daily basis? And then you move forward. And if I'm telling you, if you will remind yourself in your major definite purpose, your self-confidence formula, and then add in those beliefs that are positive flip sides of maybe the negatives that each of us may have, these will start to automatically be eliminated. I'm reminded always of the book Psycho-Cybernetics, where Maxwell Maltz showed that the science of the mind proves out that what we need to do is select the positive goal image and hold that picture in our minds on a daily basis, and the job of our subconscious is to be an automatic goal-striving mechanism. So in connection with these causes of failure, again, we want to select a positive goal image, and the one example that I had was when I used to be slow in making decisions. The positive goal image I put in my mind is I make decisions fast and swiftly move forward, and as I focused on that on a daily basis in my mental time, you know, when I do this in the morning, in the night, that automatically got put into my life through my subconscious mind. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to say to myself, okay, well, how do I, you know, stop making decisions slowly and make them faster? What's my strategy for doing it? I didn't have to think about that. I didn't have to come up with a plan. I simply put the positive goal image into my affirmation, and as I was going through that on a daily basis, it got programmed into my subconscious mind, and my subconscious subconscious mind automatically put that into my life, and it worked for me. It'll work for everybody. These principles have been studied, they've been proven, and they're powerful, my friends. And I'll tell you, if we eliminate all 30 of these causes of failure from our lives, by the strategies that were just mentioned, there's no limit to what we can have. And if you're not, I'll also say this, if you're not getting the results that you want in your business, then you've definitely got one or more of these 30 major causes of failure holding you back. So it's a very comprehensive list. It's very important that we take it seriously, look at it, and that we know how to overcome it, which again is flipping it into a positive goal image, putting it into your daily affirmation or incantation. So that being said, let's open up the call real quick. We've gotten here about half an hour. Important information.
I just wanted to add something here that kind of loops all this together.
What's that, Bill?
There's something that I wanted to say that loops all this together. It dawned on me while you were speaking. Our emotional being, we attach emotional being to our daily lives. And so when somebody asks you how you're feeling, if you allow your feelings to control your mind, you might say, oh, well, I don't feel so great today. But instead, if you just kind of challenge yourself and say, I feel terrific. Even if you don't feel terrific, just saying the word feeling terrific makes you feel terrific. It puts a smile on your face. Or if you're not feeling that great, or you're in pain, or you're suffering from something, again, emotional and feeling attachment, don't always let your body or your emotions or your feelings control your mind. You can control your own emotions by changing them. So in other words, if somebody says, how are you feeling today, and you're feeling terrible, say, I'm feeling alive, awake, aware, and enthusiastic. It will automatically put a smile on your face, and guess what? You'll breathe more oxygen in the process, and it will create endorphins in the brain, and it will cause you to think more positively. So I just wanted to add that because it's very powerful, and it's really true. It works. It really works. Try it. Try it right now at home and say, you know what? Even if you feel like crap, I feel terrific, and I do. I feel terrific. I get a big smile when I hear that. I think, wow, I really do feel terrific. And it may only last for a little bit, but then say it again. I'm alive. I'm awake. I'm aware. I'm enthusiastic. Get rid of those, you know, stop allowing your feelings to control, your emotional feelings to control your mind. Implant into your mind that you are alive, awake, aware, and enthusiastic, and continue to speak that to yourself, and you will feel better. Paul?
Yeah, and along that note, Bill, we all can get to a position where we are happy, where we are loving life the vast majority of the time. I mean, it's amazing as I've really focused on these things we're learning on this call over the last 18 months of my life. Nowadays, I can honestly tell you with 100% truthfulness that I feel good almost every minute of every day. I'm in the habit of eliminating the negative, and if a negative comes in, I roll it off, I shrug it off, and I move forward, and I focus on the positive, and I do love life. So as Bill's talking there, we do have the choice. We do have the choice to determine how we feel. You know, when you listen to a good song and it makes you feel good, it's not the song that's making you feel good. It's you that's allowing yourself to feel good through the song.
Exactly.
We're making the choice. It's not the external stimuli. It's us. So when somebody makes you feel bad, if somebody negative comes into your life, it's not you. It's not them that's making you feel bad. It's you. That's allowing them to let you feel bad. So, gosh, this is powerful, powerful stuff, because once we really start to learn and live and understand this, we realize this incredible truth that, well, why not feel good all, you know, most or all of the time? I mean, it really is amazing. We can't do it. So anyway, I appreciate you pointing that out, Bill, because how true it is. So press *6 if you want to unmute your line and jump into the conversation here.
Hey, Paul, Mark in California here.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, you know, I had heard someone the other day ask the question, would you allow someone to do to you what you've done to yourself?
And that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a very profound.
Yeah.
And what you said, Mark, reminded me of the line in the content of the call today where Napoleon said, if you want to see your best friend and your worst enemy, look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror.
It really is
yeah,
us. It really is us.
It is. It is.
So,
hi, guys.
Thanks for that, Mark. Hello.
Hi, this is Cindy. Along with that, I was doing a productivity course, and one of the quotes that came out of that is, if you were your own employee, would you fire yourself?
Yes.
That's good, too.
No, I wouldn't. I would keep myself employed. Yes, I like that.
Yeah, so would I.
Or yeah. Certainly, what would your performance appraisal look like?
A lot better.
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Very good question.
Thanks to this call, a lot better now.
Thanks, Cindy.
Yep.
Anyone else? Star 6.
Hey, Paul. Denise here.
Hey, Denise. Good morning.
I'm alive, awake, aware, enthusiastic.
Oh, fantastic. So am I, thanks to you and that light.
Yeah. And I am, too, thanks to you.
Well, you know, every morning I have to tell you what I do. Before I even get out of bed and I open my eyes and the alarm is off, I lay there for 2 or 3 minutes and I just, you know, I just give thanks to the fact that I'm able to wake up. Today is a new day. I'm starting my day off. I'm breathing. There's so many small things to be thankful for. And that's just kind of what I do. And then I get up and then, you know, it just kind of just sets the day because the minute we get up, if we get up with a, oh gosh, I have to get out of bed, dread this, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
it's just that kind of like that self-talk and everything. But there's something I just wanted to share with somebody that I got from a friend of mine, and I wrote this down. It says, I despair the thought that my life might slip by without seeing God show himself mighty on our behalf. And I just,
wow.
You know, I know it's powerful. And I have it written. It's sitting right here at my desk. And, you know, every day we have choices to go out. Not every day I go out and I go, okay, today's the day, and I'm going out today, and who am I going to meet? But, you know, just having a smile on our face, our body language, and all these things
right.
play into all of these things that Bill just read about. And it's the essence of who we are inside. And I have bad things that I'm still dealing with. You know, procrastination is the huge one. But
yep.
every day I'm like, okay, I'm going to bite this one. Today it's going to be gone, you know. Little tiny little things, and it's like I'm doing something out the day. Cause, you know, you work at home, it's easy to get distracted. But I say to myself, oh, my gosh, this isn't making me any money. So I stop
yeah.
right away. Stop right away and go back to what's going to make me money.
You know, I'm going to add something to that, too. You know, when you're doing difficult things in business and if you're in network marketing, find a teammate. Find somebody to make calls with. It makes it so much easier. It really does. It makes it so much easier. Find somebody to make calls with
mm-hmm.
and just say, listen, I'll help you. You can help me. And that can really grow your business. And then you're forced into it, and it becomes easy because if you're a relationship builder and you know how to build relationships, which we all know how to do, it will become second nature to you. You just have to do it.
Great point.
Yeah.
Denise, could you post that quote on the group there on Facebook?
I will. I definitely will.
Rich.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I do too.
Hey, guys. This is Rick from California. I got two really quick points. And, you know, I think that everybody on this call really, I can feel that you know, believe in God. And I want to say something that I've noticed that a lot of people are a little bit timid, timid when they talk about God. Like you apologize. I want to remind you, you don't want to apologize when you have a belief in God. Don't apologize. You can't. The thing you don't want to do is try to please everybody. And I think that 95% of the people in this country are God-fearing. And I heard Zig Ziglar said something one time. It was most powerful in an interview. And he said, why on earth would I want to offend 95% of the people in the United States?
By not, yeah.
And Zig Ziglar, by any stretch of the imagination, is one of the greatest leaders in sales in any category, okay? But I can tell you that what happens in network marketing and the businesses I've seen in most of these businesses, take a look. Take a look at the businesses who have tested time and how many businesses. Look at principle. A lot of companies, a lot of teams fall apart because nobody knows about that person's belief. That is so important. Your principles and your belief is so important. It makes for shady or shaky grounds when you're around people that you don't know what they really, truly believe in. That's why most teams fall apart. If you notice the teams that stick together and galvanize, they have a true belief in the higher power. So you want to take a look at that. If you want to build a long-term business and the relationship with people, that's going to stick together. If someone says, man, you want to have good friends, friends know all about you and they will still love you. Now, my other thought real quick is that it's been scientifically proven that your nervous system doesn't know what is real or not. So when Bill was talking about, when he says things about, I feel fantastic, I feel great, I can tell you myself, I've used that to heal myself personally. Because there's a chemical action that goes on in your body, and I tell you, you try it. You try it yourself. And when you say that, it will activate your system. It will activate your protective system and cure. You do some inner curing. That is proven. And I want to thank you guys this morning. It's been fantastic listening to everyone.
Rick, I really appreciate what you shared. I do love you, man. And I do, you know, just a couple of my thoughts on what you said about, you know, talking about God. I believe in God. I mean, I look around my world, and everything to me testifies to the existence of a supreme being, a supreme creator. Everything's organized. You look at the rotation of the planets in our solar system. You look at the intricacy of a flower. You look at a blade of grass. I mean, to me, God is everywhere. Here's one thing, though, that I think that everybody should be careful of. As I've looked around in my short time on Earth, I have had the sense, or I've noticed, that God has been used to manipulate people through many different forms of systems of control. So I think part of the reason that some people are hesitant or some people maybe hold back a little bit is because God has been used to manipulate people. And so when we're talking about God, I just think it's really important that we approach the subject with an attitude of humility. You know, some people come from a background where they're very religious. I mean, I go to church, okay, so there's nothing wrong with being religious. But what I'm saying is sometimes when we go to a certain church, we get steeped in beliefs that may or may not be true, okay? And we need to be careful about when we're talking with people about God, because other people may have beliefs that are different from ours that also may or may not be true. So while I think it is important that we not be ashamed to talk about God and that we not be ashamed to talk about principles of truth, I think it is important that we all be humble, and we all realize that some of our beliefs may or may not be true. I mean, you can't say it any more simply than that. Just be humble about what we're saying and be open, you know, to hearing other ideas and not try to push our own beliefs about God on other people. So I just wanted to share those thoughts. Those just may or may not be right. Those are just some of my observations. But I do appreciate that, Rick, because we need to stand up for what's right, and we do need to have principles, and we do need to be good people, you know. That's where the strong foundation is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Anyone else? Any other thoughts?
Excellent point, Paul.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there and make it a fantastic day, because it is. Every day above ground is terrific. As Denise pointed out, we can breathe, we can see, we can think, we can feel, we can take action, we can enjoy the time, the gift that we have. Let's do it. I love you guys. Thanks for all your comments, discussion. Really appreciate everyone, and we'll see you back tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich Call. Make it a great day.
All right.
Make it a super day, everybody.
Thank you.